welcome to episode 3 of Dopey, a podcast about dumb drug stories and other such dumb shit. I'm Dave.
And I'm Chris.
And here we are in Lower East Side of Manhattan, telling old stories about drugs.
Yeah.
Chris just dropped a whopper of a story about GHB and rehab, and we learned that Chris has basically been in rehab for 3 whole years of his life, which is amazing. I haven't spent that much time in rehab.
It's funny, sometimes I think about it, about adding up all the time, and I really, you only have a continuous sort of stream of consciousness from the time you hit puberty. At least I do. You know, if I actually can recount, you know, if I really thought about it, I could recount month for month if I worked at it. Back to about 13, and before that, it's just splotchy. So when you think of it that way, I'm only like 18 years old. So 3 out of 18, that's a lot of my stream of
consciousness. Oh, you mean for sober years?
Yeah.
Well,
not sober. I mean able to recount consecutively.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, but I find it just as easy to recall fucked up stories as sober ones at this point.
Mm.
Like years that were sober. Well, I guess not. There weren't that many years that were sober. But my memory is kind of like an equal opportunity for a recall. Like I can't really recall one thing more than the next, and I think that's from residual damage to my brain.
Hmm.
But I spent, I don't know, I spent like 6 months or even less once in a rehab. I was in that rehab with you for 20. I did 28 days a couple times.
Oh, you did the one in Renaissance.
Yeah,
right?
That was like 6 months.
Yeah,
and then like 3 or 4 months in a halfway house down there, which you know, I always talk about this with my friends, and I know no matter what you, I like rehab. I like rehab. I like detox. I like all that shit.
Even think about like Mountainside where we were. I mean, what do you really do? I mean, you shuffle around, talk about feelings, go to yoga, you know, get acupuncture.
Well, that was a very high. That was a very high class.
I mean, people pay to do that at a health spa.
But I liked. Oh, but that place was expensive.
That was
you had
expensive.
To pay to go there.
Yeah, and I've run the gamut.
Talking about. I even like public detox.
Really?
I like it.
Well, you like to talk. You're a loquacious person, and you have a natural interest in other human beings, and especially if there's suffering present, you're pretty good at.
I like it, yeah. And I also feel like all of a sudden it's like I remember there was a show when I was a kid called Benson, about this black governor's aide named Benson. And there was an episode where Benson and the governor and some weird people get stuck in an elevator. And I was always like, wow, I like to get stuck in elevators. I like to get stuck in a place where you can't leave and – or it's hard to leave. Forget can't leave.
Yeah.
Where it's hard to leave and you get to know the people around you and you make the best of a situation. Like, I get a kick out of that. That's, like, one of my favorite experiences.
That makes – I mean, I always like being in the hospital because everybody feels bad for you, and I feel like I deserve it.
Right, but in detox and rehab, nobody feels bad for you.
No, it doesn't.
They treat – wherever I went, they've treated me badly.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Badly.
That wasn't always my –
Well, you're
experience. I've had some of those experiences too.
I was never even in school. I was never like beloved in school or rehab ever.
Hmm.
I was never that guy. But when I was at Mountainside, Chris had already been there for like 6 months, and then he stayed there for another 4 months after I left. I was there for 28 days of his, like, 300-day stay there.
No, it wasn't that long. But it was longer than you. It was definitely longer than you.
Yeah.
Actually, in the scheme of things, Mountainside fell about in the middle in terms of duration.
What do you mean?
I was at Mountainside for, like, 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And that was about in the middle of in terms of the different places I went.
Mountainside was decent, though.
Yeah.
And there was something, though, romantic to me about public detox because you're in with the scum of the earth and you know you can't go any lower. The only thing lower is jail. And
which is just a crude form of detox and relapse prevention in the United States.
Yeah, I never did jail more than a night, thank God. You know, that did not, that was not like the romance of getting stuck in an elevator. I also like the actual romance in rehab, like that there'd be women.
Yeah, I know you do.
Like, and that, you know, I'm not well, but I digress. And again, I'd like to say that Chris and I are in recovery. And that this podcast is really just an exploration of funny drug stories.
It is. And we're getting a little tired. This is our fourth one we've recorded in a row.
Don't tell them that.
Well, that's all right. I mean, we're just...
They're going to know we're run down, you mean?
Yeah, we'll let them know.
Right. You know, Howard Stern, every morning, talks for 4 hours. And the end of an episode is not worse than the beginning.
You love Howard Stern.
I love Howard Stern.
Are we doing the Howard Stern story?
Yeah, we're going to do the Howard Stern story.
Okay.
But where are we now? All right, this is going to end early then. We were supposed to keep rapping.
Well, I'll interject. I'll say stuff.
We'll see.
I'll trip you up.
All right. Years ago. Oh, yeah, this will actually go a while. Years ago, I was what was I? I did a lot of weird stuff when I graduated college. I had a lot of weird jobs. I was a private eye. Did I ever tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, it was my 21st birthday. I went to this art school. I actually got kicked out of Ithaca College for weed, where I got a very punitive suspension for weed. And before I got busted at the end of the year, I had applied to Purchase, the State University
SUNY
of New York,
Purchase, yeah.
at Purchase as an option. And I got accepted to Purchase, and I got kicked out of Ithaca, and I just transferred. And my parents never found out. Nobody ever found out, because it saved them a lot of money, because Purchase was much cheaper, and I had a shitload of credits from Hunter College that I got. It was always like it was as though I didn't do anything wrong. And I went to Purchase, and Purchase is this crazy art school, drug school. And there was this guy at Purchase, this tiny guy who's Brazilian. His name was Oscar. And he would use heroin at college. I actually tried heroin at Purchase for the first time. But Oscar got kicked out for overdosing on heroin at Purchase. And years later, I was promoting Broadway shows, going from store to store around the city to hang up posters in the windows of stores to promote Broadway shows.
That's a job? They're paying you to do that?
Yeah, it was a good job. It was a good job. I think it was like, I don't know, I think it was $20 an hour.
Did you get to see shows? Or
no, we just put up the signs. And we'd all meet up first in Madison Square Park and smoke blunts, and then we'd go out and put up the posters. And in the middle of the... No. That's not true. I think I worked at Katz's Deli at the time. Anyway, in the middle of the job... I get a phone call from this dude, Oscar, who had gotten kicked out of Purchase years before. And he always, like, sort of stayed peripherally in touch with me. And he's like, Dave, what are you doing tonight? And I was lying in my parents' bed. I said, nothing. And he said, do you want to come with me to the Limelight? And I said, sure. This is not the Howard Stern story. This is another story. Well, right. Maybe we'll get to that. Right. And I said, sure. And... I meet Oscar. He's like 4'6", Brazilian guy. And he's like, we have to go to the... And I'd never been to the Limelight. I grew up in New York City. Yeah. I never went to any club. I would go to like hippie clubs and see bands, see ska bands and stuff. So I go to the Limelight. At the door, he has a stack of drink tickets, like 50 drink tickets. And he's like, Dave, we're private eyes and we need to look for drugs. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he tells me that a friend of his father had been a state trooper, and he became an officer at this security company called Krull. And Krull is this giant...
It sounds intimidating.
Yeah, it's like a giant private investigative firm. And at the time, it was that that whole ecstasy case at the Limelight with Peter Gation. He ran the Limelight in the tunnel. He was this weird old club impresario. And that guy, Michael Gallen, had just... Or Michael Gation.
Alec.
Michael Alec.
Yeah, he's
had
Alec.
Just
he
killed.
He just got popped out. a year ago.
Yeah.
And he's making a name for himself again in nightlife.
Oh.
Something with the New York clubs again.
Well, there you 17 go.
17 years in prison.
Amazing.
Yeah. Party monster, Macaulay Culkin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had just murdered the guy, and Peter Gation's clubs were being investigated, so they needed...
Yeah, I know the time. I know the period.
They needed somebody who seemed young to go look for drugs in Peter Gation clubs. So they hired Oscar. And Oscar...
Made you a PI.
Hired
for
me.
For free drink passes.
No, he also paid me $25 an hour.
Where did the drink passes come in, though?
The
free drink passes. Remember?
I think...
What does that have to do with anything?
I just thought it was cool that he would get the free drink passes. And I think it was because Peter Gation wanted him to be drunk.
So wait, you are a drug addict and you're investigating who's selling drugs?
I was barely a drug addict at the time. I was right. Like a pre-drug addict. I was a stoner.
Okay.
I was a very, very, very pious stoner. I smoked weed every day. I took hallucinogens, but that was it. I had taken heroin and I had taken benzos, and I had taken coke, but I was not taking them regularly.
Yeah.
But that's not even the story I'm going to tell. This is just one of the weird jobs I had in the fucking 90s.
Okay.
Should I keep going with this story?
Yeah. I mean, which do you think is better?
The Howard Stern story is a million times better. But I should finish this story.
Finish it, yeah.
So anyway, we would go around the limelight, and Oscar was a total alcoholic. So, and I couldn't even drink. You know, I don't drink.
Yeah.
I would drink a drink and be like, eh.
Yeah.
Oscar would sit there throwing back fucking booze. Oscar was also a writer. After he lost this job, he became a chocolate taster for Godiva, where he would taste chocolates and write about them. Oscar was a real fucking character. So we would go to the limelight and the tunnel, and it was always my dream to, like, be cool and pick up girls, and it never happened. I was always just, like, sitting against the wall watching, you know. Once in a while, like, I'd have a drink. I tried to dance, but it was very awkward and horrible. Then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to smoke weed. So I would smoke weed in these clubs. And
in the club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually, some dude came up to me and he was like, he kicked me out of the club. He kicked me out of the club for smoking cocaine.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no cocaine. It's just really good weed.
Yeah.
You know, but as we kept doing it, the Krull started to send down their own investigator. And me and Oscar were kids.
Yeah.
You know, we were 21 and we looked young, both
yeah.
of us. Oscar was tiny and
yeah.
I was very fresh-faced and innocent.
Yeah.
And then they sent down the Krull operative,
yeah.
who was like 50 and he wore combat boots and he had glasses and he was fat and balding.
Yeah.
And he didn't look young.
Yeah.
And I would have to sit with Oscar and bullshit the Krull operative. Like, and Oscar would be like, I think I saw a redhead in the bathroom taking ecstasy. And I was like, I don't think so. But this story is no good. I should go to my Howard Stern story. Forgive me. I just think it was weird. It was cool that I was a private eye.
Yeah.
In the end, Oscar owed me this story does get better.
Yeah.
Then they realized that Oscar was useless
yeah.
because he was an alcoholic. And
yeah.
you can't send an alcoholic to a bar to do surveillance.
Yeah.
But Oscar would write fiction for them. But then when they realized that and pass it off as reality,
yeah.
he'd be like, seeing
yeah.
weird activity in the bathroom. But eventually they were like, this isn't working. So they sent in the real investigator. And they switched Oscar to a case in Park Slope. And Oscar's like, Dave, and he talked like this. He talked like a very effeminate nerd. Like,
yeah.
Dave, do you want to come with me to Park Slope? And I hear there's some junkies that we have to be following. And I'd be like, all right, I thought it was cool. And the first day, I go out to Park Slope, and I wore a trench coat, like I figured real private eyes were. And I had a newspaper, and I'd hold it up. And Oscar was still exactly the same, just this hipster, artist, Brazilian nerd, effeminate guy.
Yeah.
And Oscar really wanted me to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted me to be his friend.
Yeah.
And it made me very uncomfortable. Just, I liked Oscar, but he was a weird guy, and he was antisocial, and he liked to make people uncomfortable. You know the type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, in Park Slope, and this case still, to this day, doesn't make sense
yeah.
to me. The story was, there were junkies, and this is before I was a junkie.
Why, first of all, who wants to investigate junkies in Park Slope? Is it the cops?
I wouldn't be surprised if Oscar, now, just yeah. It's coming to me right now, if the whole thing wasn't real, yeah. That Oscar was, like, paying me to hang out with him. But, so I would hang out with Oscar in Park Slope, and he'd be like, Dave, there are junkies stealing morphine from the methadone clinic. Now, at the time, I wasn't a junkie, and I didn't do morphine, and I never had methadone. Now, 20 years later, I was on methadone for 6 years. I don't think they have morphine in the goddamn methadone clinic. I don't think so. No. Anyway, we would follow these junkies around for days, for weeks.
Yeah.
And they would steal change out of the payphones.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Oscar, I just saw him stealing change out of the payphone. He'd be like, very interesting. And then he'd be like, Dave, do you want to go with me to the movies today? Yeah. And I'd be like, well, what about the junkies? What are we supposed to do? And he'd be like, oh, I'm sure they'll be all right. And it became kind of suspicious. And then one day, Oscar took me to see the movie The Cable Guy. Have you ever seen this movie?
Yeah, Jim Carrey. Yeah, it's great.
In the movie, Jim Carrey is trying to befriend Matthew Broderick until he kills him. And it was just like my relationship with Oscar. And after that, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. It was like fucking revelation in the movie theater that Oscar was the cable guy.
And then that was it with Oscar?
That was it.
What's he doing now? You don't know?
He became a chocolate tester for Godiva. I don't know what happened to him. But it was fucking weird, right? Isn't that a weird story?
It's very strange.
Then months later, Oscar owed me money because probably it wasn't a real case. And they stopped paying and he decided he didn't want to pay. I stopped hanging out with him because it was too weird. And he said, Dave, I need your skill set for a job. He goes, we need to shoot pool with these people and you need to find out their names. And I think I was really naive because, like, why couldn't Oscar, if he's playing pool with them, why can't Oscar find out their names? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. But so I went with him and I found out the names and I felt very cool, you know? And Oscar didn't pay me for that. And then weeks later, I was in the East Village with my friend and I run into Oscar. And I got so mad, I took my shoe off and I threw it at him and I hit him with my shoe. And that was the last time I ever saw Oscar.
Wait, but why did you throw your shoe at him?
Because I was pissed. He owed me money.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really what we're going for. The Howard Stern story.
You got sidetracked.
Better.
Well, what do you got? You got 10 minutes.
You want to
throw it down? Can you throw it down in 10 minutes?
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. After that job.
So, just to preface what Dave's about to say, he was on the Howard Stern show.
Yes.
A long time ago.
Yes.
And currently, Dave is something of a Z-list celebrity.
Is there a letter past Z?
He's also been bulleting down the ranks recently of the Z list. But he is a Z list celebrity in the New York City area.
You think so, Z? I think if there's, I'd be like more like
Z1.
No, like Z20, Z27. You know, I think it's way past that. But back then, I did random job to random job, weird shit. Like, I promoted cigarettes in the street. I promoted cigarettes in the Jersey Shore. I promoted cigarettes in the Hamptons. I managed cigarette promotions in the Hamptons and in the Jersey Shore. It was very weird.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah. And a buddy of mine asked me to fill in as a production assistant for this company. And the company was called Burly Bear. And it was a college cable network that only aired in colleges. And I walked in for the interview, and this dude looks at me, and he says, I know you think you've done a lot of drugs, but trust me, I've done more. And that's how I got hired. I said, okay, whatever you say. And I started for him as a production assistant on a stoner cooking show called Half-Baked, where it was Half Baked the movie, and actually Half Baked the movie had to pay this guy $25,000 to use the name Half Baked.
What about the Ben and Jerry's flavor? When did that come out?
Years later. I was the marijuana coordinator on the show, and my job was to buy weed and keep the host of the show high.
Yeah.
And I would have to gauge if he was high enough or too high, you know, or not high enough, and or too high, or whatever. And I would get sandwiches, and I would bring weed, and that was my job. And then I started doing heroin during this period, and ecstasy, and heroin, and pills, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I was also rising through the ranks because they really enjoyed this crazy kid who did drugs and was funny and loud and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was on air, a host for them for their thing.
Yeah.
And eventually they gave me a show. And the second they gave me a show, I was a heroin addict. It was done. As soon as I was making money, I was fucking addicted to heroin immediately. And it was like just I signed a contract. I was making a lot of money, and I signed a contract, and instantly I was addicted to heroin. But while I was making the show, I really wanted the show to be popular. And I thought there was and I was such a fan of the Howard Stern show. I was a production assistant for years, and I would drive around in a van with this guy, and he would just leave Howard Stern on. And I never liked Howard Stern in high school, but something about my life and Howard and I don't know, I just clicked. Mm-hmm. And I became totally enamored with Howard Stern. And when I got my show, I had Jackie the Joke Man as a guest on my show, and we smoked weed, and we did an interview. It was really boring. I never aired it. And I would work on weird Howard projects, like remotes for the E! Show. And I was very close to the Howard Stern world without getting into it. And I really wanted to be on the Howard Stern show. And I figured there were three ways you could get on the Stern show. I figured one way was I could make a fool of myself and get naked and wear a sign that says, "I love Howard," outside of the Empire State Building. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then another thing, I had a really hot girlfriend at the time, and I was like, I can bring her in, and she can get naked. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then the third idea was that I could do what I do best, which was lie.
No.
And just come up with a story, lie, kiss his ass, and he would have me on the show. So it was 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with this idea. My show was called Shuffle. It was a music magazine show. And my idea...
So this is like right after Private Parts came out too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was big.
Yeah.
And I came up with an award. It was called the Shuffle Entertainer of the Millennium.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And since I was on... I'm going to say it again. You can try to edit. You think you can edit?
Yeah, yeah. Or not. It's fine.
And since I was on all these college cable networks across the country on the campuses... We had affiliates for our company that worked on the campuses, and I said that our affiliates went out and polled random students to find the Howard Stern – or to find the Shuffle Entertainer of the Millennium, who it was, you know?
Yeah.
And so I made the whole thing up, and there was no affiliates actually polling students, but I came up with this – 3 million students were polled, and 78% voted Howard Stern – to be the Shuffle Entertainer of the Millennium. And then I picked, like, his most hated people to be, like...
the runner-ups.
Yeah, Jay Leno had 12%. Adam Sandler had 8%. And then, like, Bob Hope had, like, 3%.
So it was an elaborate ruse with made-up statistics to support it and tilt Howard in the right direction.
Yeah, and he went for it. And then I called up a trophy shop, and I said, can you make a trophy for me that says Shuffle Entertainer of the Millennium, and I'll mention your trophy shop on the Howard Stern show. The trophy was probably $20. Yeah. I don't know why I had a television company at my disposal. I don't know why we didn't just spend $20. But so again, I had this super hot girlfriend who was a total drug addict.
Mm.
And I appeared on the Howard Stern show on September 22nd, 1999. It was like the greatest day in my life.
Now, is that available anywhere?
Yeah, it is. I think, well, you can Google it and see that I came in.
Okay.
And I had a video
of
it, but I lost that in a whole different story. Yeah. A good story though. Anyway, I was nervous because we had to be at the Stern show at 6 a.m. So I decide that, I'm going to stay up all night, taking coke and heroin and ecstasy, just to make sure I'm up all night, because I sleep. It's hard for me to stay up at night.
Yeah.
And I am taking all these drugs. I'm taking coke and heroin and smoking weed and tripping ecstasy.
The heroin's going to help keep you awake?
Well, the heroin would offset the nervousness of the coke. And I was a heroin addict, so I took heroin.
Yeah.
I was a heroin addict, and heroin addicts need to take heroin. So We go to K-Rock. We left my house at like 4 in the morning, and we're walking through the warm streets of New York City High. And I don't remember this at all, by the way. I just put it together. I remember we walked there, but I don't remember the walk.
Yeah.
And we get to the green room, and I'm fucking so high. But then the nervousness hits me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like clear, super lucid. And I've seen a video. I don't look high.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking wrecked.
Yeah.
And I go in, and I'm like, I tell Howard the story.
Yeah.
And Howard's there, and Robin's there, and Fred's there, and I'm in the studio. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I tell Howard the lie, you know, and Robin's like, what do you think about this? And Howard's like, I think this is wonderful. And he thanks his agent and he thanks his wife and he thanks Robin. And, I'm like, Howard, you should thank me. And he's like, why should I thank you? And I'm like, 'cause I gave you the award. And he's like, all right, I thank David. And I'm like, my life is fucking complete. And then Robin says, Howard, look at him. How do you believe this story? The kid is obviously on drugs. And I said, Robin, how dare you? Yeah. And then Howard's like, Howard got pissed. And he's like, I want to take this award seriously. But then Howard was like, I'm going to use the award for a doorstop. Get out of here before I hit you in the head with it. And he kicked me out of the studio. And
that was the Howard Stern.
That was the Howard Stern story. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that translates.
Yeah, it translates. I like it. I like it, just because I know you and I can picture you in that setting.
But that's like three fucked up stories molded into one. I just wasted three stories for this podcast.
No, it was good. It was good.
Well, one and a half.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. If you have any comments or questions or can procure this video from the E! Show of September 22nd, 1999, please write dopeypodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you have a good story and you'd like to be on the show.
Yeah. We could use some new material because, you know, we're dying on the vine.
No, we got stuff. We got stuff to go.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more stuff.
But, you know, we need some fresh blood.
We need fresh blood. New blood. Please write us at dopeypodcast@gmail.com. And, again, we do not advocate drug taking. But if that's your thing, you know, who are we to stop? There, but for the grace of God, go we. Have a good night. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, this girl of mine, she's done some.